You know, I guessed that you would be the only one who would dare to come here. You've got courage.
Yo, 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 the Get Your Podcast crew is in the building. This your homie, Juss. And back by popular demand is my homie, Garn. Garn, how you been?
Yeah, I'm alive. I survived my sickness, but I'm alive and well now, thank God.
Gotcha. And, you know, this special Get Your episode, since it's SummerSlam, I had to bring my homie back. You know what I'm saying? This guy has been day one-ish, the warden himself, the number one wrestling podcast on Pornhub. My guy, my friend, ladies and gentlemen, Matt Ritter.
Man, don't believe none of this bullshit Justin's feeding you. Clearly, Garn and I are just backups for Vince and Benji because they couldn't show up. You see, they're not here and we are. That's why I'm apparently on Get Show. I'm Vince's sub and Garn is Benji's. That's all this is.
Get Show.
I fucked up, Joe.
Hell no. But honestly, though, we have to talk about, before we talk about SummerSlam, we have to talk about what type of wrestling fan we were this whole week. And then we'll kind of like skip a little bit of the winners and losers and just kind of go with our overall thoughts of SummerSlam. So, guys, what type of wrestling fan were we this week?
I'll start first on this. I think this past week I've been more like a replacement fan.
Like Keanu Reeves.
Meaning like, yeah, Keanu Reeves and Gene Hackman. Yes, bring that back. And what's the guy's name? Orlando Jones.
Yes.
Bad TV, baby. But man, I felt like I'm just watching alternative wrestling lately. I've been watching a lot more TNA for some reason.
Really?
For some reason.
They just
did their Chicago event recently. That's why. So
okay.
I have a connect with their TNA group, so I talked with them once in a while. So
okay.
Like their publicity. Yeah, sorry, I can't speak today, but yeah, I'm actually friends with them. So I've been kind of watching their product lately. So kind of been replacing WWE and AEW because I already knew the story is going to continue with WWE. I was going to be fine with that. I was like, okay, I'll check out Impact just to see what's going on. It's been interesting. But
yeah, I mean, they had some pretty good shows, especially now that Trinity's over there now, you know.
Yeah.
Alex Shelley's a champion, and they got Josh Alexander coming back. So who knows what's going to happen with that? So yeah, they got some pretty decent things.
Yep, and then they're doing Emergence too. They're Forbidden Door. So
right.
Yeah, stuff like that. So I was like, okay, I'll check this out for a bit. That's about it.
Matt, will you?
Yeah, this pay per view was a Motor City Machine Gun.
shout out.
I was a normal wrestling fan up until today, but as of the last hour, I've been a super fucking petty ass wrestling fan, and I can't wait to get into it.
Really petty?
Let's go.
Yep.
Let's petty. Go.
Okay. Petty. You know, I don't know, like, the kind of fan I've been has been kind of swerved. You know, a lot of the things that I thought would happen didn't happen. So in a way, like, I kind of feel like disrespected, lied to, maybe a little body shame. So I guess you kind of say I'm a Lizzo dancer fan type of wrestling fan this week. You know, like, just like feeling like I'm gonna watch good wrestling. And then get to the point where I think something I want is going to happen. I get disrespected. You know what I'm saying? Not just disrespected, but almost like feeling like imprisoned, just like how those dancers felt. you know. But you know, whatever. That's the type of wrestling fan we were all this week, right? We're kind of like skip our normal winners and losers, and normally how we do the format. Well, we're just gonna jump right into it and talk about SummerSlam because that's the meat and potatoes of the whole thing. So, guys, SummerSlam just ended about like 10 minutes ago. We can jump off a couple match by match, or if you guys got some thoughts. Matt, you look like you want to get some off your chest.
I know you said we're going to skip it, but I'd say a big winner this week is me, and a big loser this week is all my friends, including you. So, like I said, I'm feeling a little petty, right? Because things happen in wrestling that bother me, and people that are close to me tell me shit like, oh, let it play out. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. I was very much on the Cody should have won at WrestleMania train, and most of the people I fuck with told me, no, he had to go through hard times. No, blah, blah, blah. Two very specific people that I love very, very much, who are going to be doing a show and are very unhappy right now, said Jay was the guy. It was supposed to be Jay. It wasn't Cody's story, this and that. And I heartily disagreed. And now here we are, and they are feeling the way I felt after WrestleMania when I felt like I got cheated and this was bullshit and it was a waste of time and blah, 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 blah. And I didn't want to wait a whole nother year to see this shit play out and Cody to get his spot. And now Jay does not win. He does not defeat Roman. He does not fulfill the prophecy that Reek had for him. And I can't help but like, be a little overjoyed that they are feeling a little bit of what I've, or about as much of what I felt at WrestleMania.
Okay.
Here at SummerSlam. On top of the fact that your boy Vince, our boy Vince, came on my show and spouted over Finn Balor's gonna win. Finn Balor's gonna Judgment Day dripped in gold. Blah, blah, blah. I told him it was not gonna fucking happen. So when that 1-2-3 happened, I was overjoyed that I was not going to have to listen to Vince.
Okay.
in my face, all of his Judgment Day bullshit on Smacking It Raw.
Well, I mean, you know, as a consensus,
but here's the problem. You could ride for Judgment Day, right? Like, ride for Dom and Rhea.
Yeah.
Fuck right. Finn.
I was going to say,
Finn.
Fuck Damian Priest and their miscommunication. You
know Damian's cool. I got no issues with Damian.
Maybe he's Finn. Got the money, maybe
in
just
the
brain, Finn.
But like, what? You don't need to ride for everybody in the group just because they're in the fucking group. Like, I love, like, as a person and as a wrestler, Finn Balor is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But this whole story and wannabe gangster Finn has been ass from the get go. And I don't know how the fuck y'all got behind him and thought he was going to do shit with this.
I never liked it to begin with, so...
You weren't feeling Cholo Balor? You weren't feeling Cholo Balor?
No, I was not. I was feeling cultural appropriation, but that's
about it. I just didn't like... I wanted Finn to create his own group without getting, like, sloppy seconds from Edge. That's all. That's the thing I took it. It was awesome. It was very... It's like when CM Punk took over Nexus kind of deal.
It just didn't gel. It just didn't seem like it fit.
Just, you know, like I was when Edge was running this shit, I was on board. It was the executioners. It was Damian Priest, Leather Daddy, Rhea, you know, in her dominatrix gear, Edge as like the higher power fucking running shit. They were coming out with entrances like the Undertaker. Like, I was all about that shit. And then Finn took over, and I don't know what the fuck happened or why all of a sudden Finn thought, I'm going to be gangster, but it didn't work for me. And the only thing that's been saving this group is Dom and Rhea and their interactions. Like,
right.
The rest of it's just okay. Like, I much prefer Damian Priest in leather just beating on people, like, you know, big, angry, mean fucking Dom.
Right.
Not Mysterio, just Dom, like Daddy Dom.
I got you. How would you feel if, like, do you think Finn should be kicked out of the group?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Okay. Because I'm kind of the feeling, like, usually Finn starts a group or is with the group, and then when he leaves the group becomes bigger. That's exactly what happened to the Bullet Club. He left the Bullet Club, and the Bullet Club became popular.
You mean that thing in AEW with Jay White and Rock Hard Juice Robinson? That
That thing. Yeah.
that existed before AEW.
See, I was kind of like thinking if you're gonna come up with another name for Bullet Club. That's why I was kind of like waiting for you to.
Well, no, because I mean, Bullet Club is Bullet Club. I can't come up with another name. I think it's very interesting that the Suzuki Gun Manufacturing Company is in the same. The same corporation that there's a Bullet Club, so they're manufacturing guns and bullets at the same time. That's interesting to me, but that is interesting.
But yeah, what about you, Garn?
The opener was a surprise to me, like a good surprise. Just the fact that it was a very big gamble to have, you know, Logan Paul and Ricochet kick it
start
off.
Start the match,
That's a very, very big gamble. And for the most part, they hit the right notes for the most part. A lot of it was good guidance by Ricochet in a way, but then
who would have thought?
Who would have thought? But I was like, Logan Paul was due for a win. He hasn't won a match in a year, I think, right? I think the last time he won.
Yeah.
Could have never won for all I cared.
Yeah,
could have just lost every match for the rest of his career. I would have been perfectly fine.
Because the last win, like you said, I think was what with the Miz, tag teaming with the Miz, and then he lost against Roman. He lost against
Seth.
Seth, right? He lost against Seth. So yeah, in a way,
one against Miz.
Right. Okay. It's it's so crazy that we're saying Logan Paul is due for a win. Like what?
Well, let me talk to you. Here's the thing about Logan Paul, right? I cannot stand Hulk Hogan. I think Hulk Hogan is a piece of shit. I can't deny the things that Hulk Hogan did in wrestling. I can't deny facts of the money that he generated and the things that he did for the WWF back in the day. Like, I can't, but it doesn't change the fact that I think he's a piece of shit and I can't stand watching anything that he does or is a part of. And I feel the same way with Logan Paul. I'm not going to sit here and say Logan Paul's a bad wrestler. He goes out there, and for someone who, you know, hasn't been training very long and has very little, like, he goes out there and he does some shit. And, you know, he makes viral moments. We'll, again, talk about it in the sweaty sessions. However, I don't fucking like him, and I don't like his brother, and I'm never going to give, like, if they never win a match, if he wins every match and every title, I'm never going to give a fuck.
Right.
Because it's Logan Paul and Jake Paul. And surprisingly, I like Logan a little bit more than I like Jake, just because Jake, for whatever reason, looks and feels like more of a jackass than his brother does. But they both have that cocky ass, annoying scumbag persona about them that I cannot stand.
No, so, I got you.
I'm not going to say he's not a bad wrestler. If he goes on and puts on a 5-star fucking match, I'm not going to sit here and clap for him because I don't give a fuck about the guy.
No, I honestly, like, yeah, with all due respect, he can wrestle. But as far as, like, me caring for him, just like what you said, I don't give a shit, you know? Like, he's there to bring eyes to WWE, and, you know, it's just a workable business thing. That's all it is. But, yeah, I mean, to going back what Garn said, yeah, that them putting – let Paul and Ricochet have the opener was kind of like a risky move, and I thought it paid off in the end. You know, I mean, for what they were trying to do a lot of high spots and not really tell like a real psychological story, I thought it hit. It was a good like opening match to have. But yeah, to what Garn said, because there was no matches during the pre-show, they just talked for like an hour, and for that to be the first thing that they see is pretty wild when you think about it.
And then it's probably the last time we'll see Ricochet on a major pay-per-view in a while.
Oh, I know. Because like after his last big SummerSlam match was, I think, the one with AJ Styles, I think, right?
See, we can't even recall. That's how bad it is.
Where he came out as Nightwing?
Well, yeah. I guess that's the last time. That's a while ago, though. So.
I know. It's like... what, 4 or 5 years? But yeah. But yes, ladies and gentlemen, the Sultan of Spitter Swallow, Daddy Delgado, Pornhub Poppy has joined the building.
What's up, carnales? I love you guys.
So basically, I was telling. So we just did the what type of wrestling fan you were, and then we're just gonna jump into SummerSlam, just like our thoughts. Not really winners and losers. If you want to give a winner, if you want to give a loser, you could do that. So kind of like doing a more freestyle format than our usual format. So yeah. If you want to give a type of wrestling fan you were and say your thoughts for right now.
Honestly, I've been a very non-existent wrestling fan. I really haven't had a chance to like do much of anything wrestling related. This is the first chance I've had a chance. I've been able to just like sit down and watch some wrestling. And especially after tonight's SummerSlam, I would say I am, what's the word I'm looking for? Overindulge wrestling fan, because after the women's title match, after that I was just gassed. I was tired, I was sleepy. I don't know if it was like all the work I had this week or just today in general, but I was just tired, I was done. I needed that car drive to get me like woken
to reset up. Your mind a little.
Yeah, man, like that. Look, I love Roman, I love Jay. I think the most impactful stuff from I think the most impactful stuff that I can recall from the match is like when Jay busted out the strap and strapped Roman, and then also Jay coming in here and like just double crossing his brother.
Oh,
yeah.
I hated that.
Hi.
Shout out, Melissa.
Shout out. Hello.
No, but yeah, I mean, to me, when that happened, I mean, I, you could tell the way, you know, Jimmy stands that it was Jimmy, you know, and yeah. Okay. Let it play out, whatever. But, you know, I didn't want to see the Hardys have a feud, and I don't want to see the Usos have a feud. So I don't know how I feel about this feud with the Bloodline, with the two brothers going at it. I don't know. I don't want to say anything, but I might lean that this might be a dud for me.
Well, we've never actually seen Jay versus Jimmy, and I know that's a match they want to actually have.
Okay.
I mean, initially Matt versus Jeff wasn't horrible, but you know, especially if I have this theory, Melissa's been saying this for like the longest now. That either one of the Usos are retiring, and this is why they're going to do this feud, because they've done interviews where they've said that they want to do this match before they retire. So I'm assuming Jimmy is going to take a sabbatical, a leave of absence, be his Jimmy is going to be with Trin, can support her, be like a traveling husband.
I see. Okay.
And be that man like for you. Trin. And be that man for Trin, you know?
Right.
And get this win over Jay. Get this win over Jay, or get this feud with Jay going. I'm interested to see where it goes, because obviously the motivation is pretty straightforward. I saw a lot of people being mixed. Some people it's like, oh, this is cinema. Others people are saying, oh, this is terrible. I'm so done with this storyline. It was a mixed bag.
Okay.
It's a trail mix of emotions and reactions. But personally speaking, look, he was out for a whole month, right? At what point did Jimmy really feel like his brother had his best interests at heart? What did Jay do? He went after the tribal chief title. He went after the universal title. He's like, I'm doing this for Jimmy. He's like, I'm over here being main event Jey Uso. Mm-hmm. And maybe Jimmy's a little jealous. Because it did seem like, because Jimmy was the one that started this little, like, hey, let's descend against Roman here. Let's defect. And Jay went on his side, and it was supposed, like, Jimmy probably thought, yeah, I'm going to get the first crack at Roman Reigns to be the champion, to get that title shot. And then here's Jey Uso getting it, and no one's even giving a fuck about Jimmy.
Right.
So, I mean, the motivation's there. But like I said, I've been a little like, what was the word that I used initially to describe what kind of wrestling fan I was, because that's where this conversation started.
Overindulge.
Yeah, overall, tonight I was overindulged. I was, the itis really definitely hit for me. You know, the food coma. You know, it's like a food coma, it's a wrestling coma.
I mean, it was a lot. I mean, they gave you a lot to unpack the first, you know, the first full hour of SummerSlam. Mm-hmm.
There was some stuff there.
I mean, the Battle Royal was a time to rest. I mean, that was a time for me to get food and like go take a shit. You know, I wasn't really feeling.
The start of the Battle Royal.
You're a night shitter.
You know, like I mean, we all know it was gonna be LA Knight. You know, was the Battle Royal like? I mean, was it that good or?
I mean, LA Knight won.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's what it I mean. Like, I knew LA Knight was going
to
win.
You don't want to miss that.
Justin.
Sheamus was in there, so you know it's a banger.
Yeah.
You're over here talking about fucking Finn Balor and shit and taking a shit during an LA Knight match. Who the fuck are you?
Listen, okay. I mean, when I heard, I was like, okay, they got this person coming out. They got this person coming out. I'm like, oh, they got to show Omos. And when they had Omos, yeah. I was like, I knew he was going to come out. So it's like, you know. It's kind of like already self-known that what's going to happen, you know. Like Karrion Kross and AJ Styles, I got to continue that feud, right? So like they had that thing where like he eliminated him and they eliminated each other. And
mm-hmm. I mean, that's how I felt about Finn Balor losing. Like I knew it was coming. It made sense. Anyone who didn't see it coming is clearly blind and wearing glasses and a hat right now.
Get your...
So but I still watched the match. I didn't just turn it off because I knew he was gonna lose and go take a shit.
Look, I'm gonna say this. I've made a case on about this on Getcho and on Smack and Raw. I am a big fan of Royal Rumbles and Battle Royals. Even if they're meaningless, even if there's nothing at stake, I like me a good Battle Royal. So I had fun. I was looking forward to this one. Mm-hmm. It was the bee's knees. Speaking of which, Melissa made one of the funniest dad jokes because like Shane was out here like kneeing everybody. He's like hitting the V trigger on everyone. It's like, uh-huh. And I'm over here like, damn, he's like Shane's over here hitting everyone in the knee right to the uh-huh. face. And then no reason. She's like, yeah, he's a little needy today.
Oh,
I thought you were gonna start talking about Finn Balor. Oh. That's why I picked up the weights.
Oh, no. I was talking about the Battle Royal.
I do love the couple goals, though, because y'all are out here in matching LWO t-shirts, watching pay-per-views together. Yeah. It's very cute.
Hey.
Very cute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was the goal. Well, we were looking for our matching Evolution t-shirt that we got from Target because it has all the evolutions on there.
Okay, okay.
But we couldn't find it. So then I'm like, look, you want a matching shirt? Look, right here. Take this one. I'll take this one. We're good to go.
And nice.
We both got black shorts on. We're literally twinning today.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's very cute.
Yeah.
Well, thank you know, when you said that knee joke about Sheamus, I was going to say, well, that's kind of cap. Kneecap?
I've got black Air Force energy today, so that'll be fun.
You finally bought your black force? Black Air Force?
No, I just have the energy.
He has the energy.
I know what I'm buying. Energy. Like, if we ever do a cafeteria Secret Santa and I get Matt, I know what I'm buying, Matt.
Dude, yes. And I know the exact one because they're coming out with the Gore-Tex, mm-hmm. which is waterproof, which makes it even more.
I'm a 10 and a half, too. You want to pick something from my bookshelf?
No. Increase the fuck out of them, you'd be mad. I do not take care of shoes. I ain't trying to fuck up a pair.
That's why Black Air Force Ones, like, fits.
Yeah.
The cash-in, the women's title match, right? The triple threat, mm-hmm. right? Great, right? That knee spot, though. I mean, I gotta give Bianca a little credit. That was pretty good selling on my part.
Really good selling. The only one. Yeah. And our little like watch party that wasn't like believing it was my brother. He's like, no, that's some fake ass shit. If it was for real, I would have seen that X thrown up. And he's like, she's going to run back. She's going to run back. And he called it.
JJ said the acting was shit. I know Reek and TC were not happy that they did that to Bianca and put the belt on her just to have EO take it off. Mm. So.
I agree. The booking of black wrestlers under the Triple H regime has been suspect at best. The fact that they did it to Bianca, not once, but twice at SummerSlam, it's a little bit of a low blow.
So
I feel for Bianca fans. They shouldn't have done it. I was hyped, but I will say this. Out of context, devil's advocate here, right? Bianca has the knee spot. That looked gnarly. It didn't look like it was planned. I thought it was really, really well executed. I thought Bianca was out of the equation. She forces her way back in. Willpower comes back in, hits that 450, almost gets that win. Now, Charlotte over here has her in the figure eight later on in the match. Asuka's out of the equation. Figure eight locked in. You think this is it? You think Charlotte's going to get number 15 here? Get that 15 banner up in the rafters? No. Right when she thinks that's going to happen, she gets spit in the face because she's not cool. At least that's the way I interpret it from Asuka. She got that blue miss in the face. Hold up. Let me finish my turn of thought. Then we'll go to Matt. She gets spit in the face by Asuka, and then Asuka, trying to capitalize, gets rolled up by Bianca while she's still locked in the figure four.
Right.
Loses it. That sequence was fantastic. Once Bianca won and had the knee injury, I'm like, oh, Io's going to cash in. Because it made too much sense. If you're a Money in the Bank holder and you see a champion just crown after a long, grueling triple threat match and they have a legit injury, kayfabe-wise, you have to go after it. Bayley almost fucked it up, too.
Oh, my God.
Bayley almost fucked it up, too. Yes, man.
Go ahead, man. Yeah.
This question is for Justin and Garn. I didn't know if this is racist or not. I saw somebody refer to what Asuka did to Charlotte as her getting blue cockied. Is it okay to laugh at that, or is that fucked up?
Garn?
You have my permission to laugh at it.
Okay, good. No, I 100% did.
I don't see. Yeah, I don't see any racism or whatever with that joke.
No, that's because that's the actual word.
That's the it's the actual cause.
That's the actual cause.
Well, no, not boo cockied, blue cockied, because the mist was blue.
Well, yeah, yes. But I mean, yeah. still, the process of the actual cockiness.
Yeah.
Is there. So I can't be mad at it, you know?
Yeah.
Can't be mad at it. Now, if somebody were to use that Snapchat Asuka filter and then do a bukkake and they weren't Asian, then that's kind of sus. That's kind of sus.
So only...
That's basically half of... That's all...
Only Asians can bukkake people?
Unfortunately, yes. Unfortunately.
Okay, that's fine. That's fair. I have to ask just a bit. Make sure I'm not trying to.
Yeah, unfortunately,
appropriate the bukkake.
Come on now, let us keep that. Let us keep the bukkakiness. All right,
I won't colonize it. I promise.
Cultural appropriation. You don't want that here. You don't stand.
Vince, you can have your dirty Sanchez's then. Is that what? So are we going by? Are we going by that now?
No, but to be honest, like to go on what Vince said, I thought that they weren't gonna even do the cash in and maybe wait till like Raw or SmackDown or no SmackDown, because like I've never seen that happen, like a counter like that happen and then a way to win like that. So I thought that they were just gonna keep it. But then it's not until like, you know, they let her hold the title for a while, and they didn't like really move on to anything. I'm like, oh my gosh, I think a cash-in is going to happen.
Yeah.
And then I actually didn't think it was going to be successful because Bayley and Io, they've been kind of like having so many miscommunications up until this point. Like, this is the only time where Bayley actually did something good for damage control.
Well, here's the thing. She came in and she hit Charlotte with the briefcase, right? Mm-hmm. And then later on, almost fucked it up because she didn't really fully connect with Asuka. And then Io basically was like, give me the fucking briefcase. Like, Io took charge of the situation before it went south.
Yeah.
I honestly predicted the cash-in attempt, but I thought Matt's girl Shots was gonna show up and fuck it up for Io, and there would be no cash-in.
Right, because they got a feud too. What's up?
It is worth talking about the fact that generally we have seen in the past, especially with men's cash-ins, that the champion has to be on his feet and prepared to wrestle before the bells rang, and they just let Bianca lay there on the floor, and Io climbed to the top rope and rang the bell without her being in position to start a match. So that she could get that win, which is something I did see a criticism of, is normally they make the guy stand up and he's got his fist up and then he gets hits with a finisher and gets pinned, but
not always.
Normally,
I would say 9 times out of 10, yes.
I'm trying to remember if Seth Rollins won his championship and Money in the Bank, because both the men are down.
They were both laid out, yeah.
But he cashed in before the match was over, so they weren't restarting the match. He was added.
Yeah, he was added to the match.
So that's why that's different.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, same thing.
Okay.
You know what I'm gonna do now? After this episode, I'm gonna hop on and look at every single cash in and do my homework and get the analytics.
Do a spit or swallow cash in.
You ain't got time for that shit.
Yo,
swallow that cash in. Better swallow that cash in.
No, but Garn, has there any been anything like that where they haven't been able to stand under 2 feet? I mean, Alberto Del Rio, right? He was kind of injured.
Well, he was in the corner.
But they rang the bell and they started to wrestle then.
And then the police came. The police came in and they arrested. Oh, I'm sorry, that's something else.
That was sirens and bells.
Miz is not, Edge is not, Punk not. Oh man, I'm going down the line here.
John Cena at the end of Elimination Chamber, was he wasn't standing.
I don't believe Big Show was when Daniel Bryan cashed in. I'm actually watching the cash-ins right now.
Okay. So. I actually think one of the worst cash-ins was like the one that happened with Roman, right? At Survivor Series where Sheamus just came out Sheamus? During the confetti. Like, bro, like that's straight up blindsided.
That was a great one, man.
Like, yeah, but he was blindsided. Usually the cash-ins are like, you know, you see them coming.
Listen, man. Sheamus is the greatest mass wrestler of all time. He can do whatever kind of cash-in he wants to do.
Gimmick's dead, Vince. Wow. You killed it. You didn't draft the man at number one. You lost your stand.
My gosh. I have freedom of speech. I can praise the man in any which way, shape, or form I want.
I'm going to tell Rey Mysterio when I meet him, you said Sheamus is the greatest mass wrestler of all time. While you're sitting there wearing
if you meet Rey Mysterio, I don't even think you like the man. I don't even think you like the man.
Well, if we have to,
I don't like his parenting.
Fair. Give him some parenting advice, and then
if we have to compare like mass wrestlers, right? Is Sheamus, including Sheamus, is Sheamus better than Kalisto?
Yes.
Okay, I'll take that.
Name a mass wrestler, and I'll tell you if Sheamus is better than them.
Okay, Dragon Lee.
Yes, Sheamus is better.
Penta El Zero Miedo.
Yeah. Sheamus is better.
Then who? Pentagon?
Yes.
Oh my.
Is Pentagon the world champion in AEW?
Liger.
Sheamus is better.
Oh my God.
Ultimo Dragon.
Who? Ultimo Dragon?
Sheamus is still better than Ultimo Dragon.
Tiger Mask?
What about Tiger Mask?
Come on now.
El Santo?
Oh, don't you dare.
Famous.
Okay.
Is
okay.
Icon than El Santo ever was.
Oh my dude, you just Oh my gosh, you disgraced the Godfather?
I feel like that shirt is just gonna start bursting into flames on his chest.
Underneath
that is the Sheamus shirt.
Benji needs to get in here right now. Damn.
The red.
Those are the Irish flag colors. Irish flag color.
I don't believe this. El Santo? Oh my God.
Listen.
Okay.
Listen.
Trick question.
Sheamus
All right.
is a better mass wrestler than El Toro Fuerte with the ox talisman in his mask.
Yo,
what about El Torito?
That's a tough one. El Torito.
Max Mini? What about Max Mini?
Nah, Sheamus is better than
Nacho Libre.
Still better.
Oh my gosh. I will say that Sheamus is probably a little bit better than La Parca, though.
What?
He's better than Hoovy.
How dare you?
Oh, I was avoiding it because I knew the Hoovy slander was coming. Dude.
Oh, no.
Hoovy was the third best member of his own faction.
However, though, wait a minute, though. Are you saying that Juventud was better with the mask on or with the mask off?
I mean, he was doing a disservice wrestling without the mask.
Yeah,
he's definitely more juicy with the mask on.
Juicy, okay. Because yeah. I always thought that he was better without the mask, if that makes sense. But yeah.
So far, I'm up until CM Punk's first cash in 08, and so far every single wrestler has been like gotten on their feet.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised CM Punk is not your best mask wrestler.
He's no Sheamus, man.
El Generico?
El Generico.
Oh yeah. No, he's missing. He's on the milk carton.
Yeah, that guy nobody knows where he is.
Okay, so Edge didn't get to get up. CM Punk picked him up for the GTS. He was still crawling on all fours.
Okay.
So far, 1-for-4, technically, because RVD did a full-on match.
Gotcha.
I may have publicly shamed Benji into not coming on the show, so.
No, he said his Wi-Fi is having some technical difficulties.
No, he's having issues. Like, even his phone is lagging.
But I will say that, like, yes, doing Bianca how they did her twice like that is really disrespectful. Now that I think about it, that had happened to her once with Becky, now with Shirai.
Was that? Yeah, did it happen at SummerSlam too, right?
And it was both at SummerSlam too. And then the whole damage control coming back was also at SummerSlam. So, like, even though Bianca has had great feuds and great runs up until SummerSlam, SummerSlam seems to be her kryptonite for some reason.
I'll be on it.
On it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, okay. So Brock versus Cody. What'd y'all think of this match? Fantastic. Fantastic.
Okay. You guys talk positively about it, and then I can give my critiques after.
I'm just glad it's done.
Go ahead.
Anything more than three matches would have been just. That just been
overkill.
Awful. Yeah. Overkill.
Well, I kind of thought it was overkill when they played the video package again. You know, after we seen it on SmackDown, and then we seen it at the pre-show, and then we're gonna see it again right after this match. Like, you know, like come on now. Like, everyone in the fans and everyone watching kind of already knows what's going on here. And I'll never listen to Imagine Dragons the same again. So.
Wait, what?
Wasn't that Imagine Dragons? The song?
No.
Who was it?
It's Daylight by David Kushner.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. So, like, what else did you guys think of the match? You said fantastic, right? Everyone agrees.
The match was great.
Everything was great. It was just a good way to end that feud, and have. I don't know what Brock's going to do afterwards, but yeah.
Have them. Like a respected thing at the end was pretty dope, you know.
Riding all night, sleeping all day.
Hey.
They did Jack Swagger dirty because he came out to try to cash in on Jericho in 2010 on SmackDown. And he got on the mic and saying he's cashing in his Money in the Bank briefcase. The referee wasn't even there. He didn't think to bring a referee with him. Then Mike Chioda comes out all late about it. Jericho's jackets and like the microphone is all over in the middle of the ring. Kyoto takes his time clearing the fucking ring before he rings the bell. And then I think he rang the bell and he's still like, hey, come on, Chris, get up.
Here, right, here. Right.
Vince, you know I love you and I missed you on Friday. However, I do not have time in this episode for you to recap every fucking Money in the Bank cash in. I don't. I got like 28 minutes before I gotta say peace. So
he got kids.
Well, that just goes to show you the value in Jack Swagger. But you, but Vince, you were saying something about this match. You weren't feeling. You weren't liking the way it went, the result, or
personally me. It felt like I think like the pace of the match. I just wasn't necessarily in love with. It felt like a lot of. Just Brock destroying Cody. And then Yeah, that's... Cody got his like offense, and towards the end, he, you know, he got his momentum, his comeback, and stuff like that. It kind of felt like the three. Maybe I just wasn't paying attention enough in the match itself. Personally, it wasn't terrible. I didn't hate it. I think if I was missing something because it was just a regular match. Granted, you can't have multiple like stipulation matches on a pay per view like that without it losing its meaning. It was fine. It wasn't terrible. I didn't hate it. It was good. Like Goran said, I'm just glad it's over. I'm glad it's done. I think three matches is perfect. I cared more about the post-match stuff with Brock Lesnar acknowledging Cody and raising his hand. The best part of this match was the fact that Brock Lesnar ripped his pants like SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yeah, the shorts.
Yeah. And like, they were foregone. You saw everything, man. You saw the everything.
You saw the beast is iguana, you know.
Yeah, I saw every... that's the most I've ever seen from Brock Lesnar. And that was the night after I saw Sheamus' style.
Not the most you've ever seen of Brock Lesnar, because Brock Lesnar used to wrestle in trunks, and he basically had trunks on underneath the shorts, so...
Yes, but he also wore knee pads. He wasn't wearing knee pads.
He did not wear knee pads.
Yes, he did. He wore knee pads.
In UFC? Or in WWE?
Those were tidy whities, man. He had some tidy whities on.
No, but to be honest, it's so funny because like Cody starts off the match with doing that little springboard kick thing that he does, right? Mm-hmm. And he got like three off, and I don't know why he was going for a fourth, but like when he got that fourth, you know, Brock snatched his ass and started doing Suplex City, okay? Once Cody got back into rhythm and able to escape, and he did the whole Yano spot with the taking off the turnbuckle, he goes back to doing the springboard kick again. I'm like, dude, you got to do something else because you're going to catch your ass. And he caught his ass, but luckily, you know, Cody came out of it, and he did that like double springboard thing that I'm pretty sure he learned from Pentagon Jr.
The what spot?
The double springboard, like, so he, no, he like
called it something.
The cutter, the top rope cutter.
No, just called it something.
Which one?
I don't know.
The springboard something.
The springboard kick.
You said he went you can't go for the whatchamacallit spot, and he went for the kick again.
Oh, the Yano spot.
The fuck is that?
So like in New Japan, there's this guy named Yano. There's this guy named Yano, and he takes off the turnbuckle, and that's like the part of his like match.
His name is Yano. There's a guy named Yano.
Yeah, but that's what he does.
Right, I take back my Bukkake joke. You're not allowed to laugh anymore.
So like, I thought it was a good match. Overall, I was happy to see Mrs. Rhodes happy. So and everything else, you know, shout out. The match is good, and I'm glad that it's over.
Hello.
Shout out.
You muted your microphone so you could talk to her.
She can't hear you.
Yeah, I know. But I expect me to yell hello, and you'd be like, Matt said hello, and not be a dick about it. So, you know.
Matt, Justin, Garn, everyone's been saying hello this whole time, but I haven't said anything.
Yeah, what a jerk.
So, yeah, but Garn, you got anything else to add on the Brock versus Cody?
No, you guys all covered it, so
okay.
we're good to go on that. I'm just glad it's done, and then Cody Rhodes will continue on to WrestleMania, basically, Brock is just collecting a check. Yep.
Right.
Probably now, match of the night, honestly.
Was it? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Brock versus Cody was your match of the night, Matt?
Probably, yeah.
Melissa's was the women's triple threat, and I think I'm torn between the women's triple threat and the Finn Seth match.
The women's triple threat match was okay until the cash-in, which was a nice highlight. But honestly, that cash-in was the only thing that really happened this entire pay-per-view that was like made it feel anything more special than watching a Backlash or a Payback. Like, there was nothing special about this outside of the interaction between Brock and Cody after the match and the women's cash-in. You could do a Slim Jim Battle Royal on fucking SmackDown. I love LA Knight, but that did not make this pay-per-view special.
No, I'm with you. It did. Yeah. Like my brother was saying, like this pay-per-view feels like it's like taking its sweet old time to get to its destination. Like it dried out.
Yeah. And that's what I was going to say with this next match, the IC title. I felt like that of the matches took that was a banger, but it also took time to like pick up too.
Mm-hmm.
Like it just didn't just pick up right away. I mean, I understand these two have to slap each other, you know, and build them slapping each other and spanking each other's asses. Yeah. But at the same time, it was like really slow, like in the beginning. I mean, their entrances were also very slow too. But
that's a big meaty men slapping meat match. That's the structure of that match.
True. But I mean, you really felt the 25. What was it? What would you say, Garn? Like 25 minutes?
That was done. It was just under 20, I think. I thought.
Yeah, and you felt every part of that 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not disrespecting the match at all. I'm just saying you felt the 20 minutes. Like versus like the Cody and Brock, like that was probably 20 minutes too, but I didn't feel that way. The triple threat was also kind of like the same thing. Logan Paul and Ricochet also the same. I'm pretty sure.
So basically you didn't like the pacing of it.
Yeah, the pacing was just really slow. Yeah. And maybe if that had started the show, maybe it would have been a little bit different, you know, but overall, I mean, like I enjoyed that match. I thought Gunther obviously retaining because, you know, they're trying to beat that honky tonk streak, which I'm hoping that he does.
He's going to.
Yeah.
I forgot where I was. I apologize, Justin. Oh. We put over Dominic Mysterio's in-ring prowess and cannot appreciate a Gunther versus Drew McIntyre. I forgot where I was. I apologize.
No, I mean, I'm saying I like the match. I'm just saying, like, you know, I felt like it was a little lengthy. That, you know.
I enjoyed that. Well, that's because match.
That's because the mascot of the Get Yo podcast, Dominic Mysterio, can't go more than 10 minutes. ask Mommy Rhea. She knows.
No respect for IC.
Vince looks so offended right now.
No respect
for IC. I got to put up with that shit on Smackin' Raw, but this is not your show, Matt. Fuck off.
No, but yeah. Yeah, so I don't know what's going to be next up for Drew. Maybe it's going to be him and Cody. Maybe, I don't know, they'll feud about something. But, like, yeah, honestly, you can't hate on Gunther, so shout out to Gunther.
I want to shout out TC and Rake because they said maybe a Drew heel turn could be something that is in the cards for him afterwards.
Mm.
And they were going to say, like, oh, maybe, you know, like, this loss leads him to be like, okay, maybe I need to approach things a little differently. And like maybe go a more heelish route to get the job done and get things where I need them to be. So maybe that's where you go with Drew, is you go heel turn, slow burn heel turn, or like maybe at Payback, he gets Payback and turns heel on someone, you know? Because I honestly feel like he needs something to latch on to, especially since he's not getting the IC title until Gunther breaks the record.
He should. Yeah. Sheamus should. Sheamus is the one that needs the IC title.
Sheamus is on SmackDown, unfortunately.
What does that matter? Champ.
It doesn't matter anymore, does it?
Yeah.
You know better, Vince.
Oh, I still believe in mythology.
LA Knight can go for the IC title. Sheamus can go for the IC title. There are no brand splits. There's no line drawn in the sand. People just show up wherever the fuck they want and do whatever the fuck they want, and Triple H books shit however the fuck he feels like. As soon as they said free agents, people not signed to, but nobody's competing to be signed. Like, it was all bullshit after that.
Mm-hmm. For the Battle Royal, do they get anything after other than lifetime supply of Slim Jim, or is that it? They just win the Battle Royal.
Maybe, I don't know. Like, supposedly LA Knight's going to have like a push lined
supposedly
up.
Supposedly a push,
this.
Right.
Supposedly, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, I was thinking maybe, yeah, it could be
I think he's going to be the next Macho Man Randy Savage instead of snapping to a Slim Jim. Ooh, yeah. It's going to be snapping to a Slim Jim. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, why not? Why not? I mean, the catchphrase is there, you know? But,
Snap his Slim Jim for sure.
Shout out to the Slim Jim commercial too. They did like a retro style with Macho Man, with them dressing up in Macho Man type gear, and having the Macho Man commercial actually play at the end of the commercial. So I thought that was dope.
Yeah, that was cool.
The Tribal Combat match, right? What was your overall rating for this match? What are your overall thoughts?
In honor of Young Kings Wrestling, because it is a Roman Reigns match, a plus, 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 plus.
Shout out, Young Kings.
I was told growing up, if I don't have anything nice to say, then I shouldn't say anything at all.
Get the f- let's unbox that a little bit. If you know let's if you can't say what you really want to say, at least like describe
okay
how you so feel about
what's
it.
In the box, Vince,
what's in the box like this was supposed to be Tribal Combat. This didn't really feel like a special attraction type match. It just felt like a false count anywhere type match, which in that case, just call it a false count anywhere match. How does the Vikings rules match get more props than the Tribal Combat match at the main event of SummerSlam?
Okay, but to be fair, when they do things like Viking rules or Miracle on 34th Street fight or all of these things, all the internet does is bitch and complain about how hokey it is.
That's
so now
fair.
The
That's
one
fair.
Time that they don't do it, everyone's like, how did you not have the elders out there and tiki torches and blah blah, blah. Like they wanted to see that scene from Hobbs and Shaw with The Rock and Roman on the fucking island before the fight with Jason Statham, and they didn't get it. Now they're pissed. But when they built a giant fucking half a boat, everyone's like, this is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever seen. It's a waste of fucking time on SmackDown. Like,
no, that was on Raw, by the way. But me personally, it's just kind of like the principle. It's like, how does that get like a little bit of props, but like the Tribal Combat doesn't? It didn't feel like it was a Tribal Combat match, you know? Like,
okay.
I do agree with that. It did not.
It didn't give me that vibe. Look, I never watched Hobbs and Shaw because I didn't care about the spinoff.
Right.
Maybe at some point I'll watch it. I don't really know.
Okay.
I'll probably just watch it for Roman, my tribal chief, and only for that reason alone. But I gave it more akin to the Black Panther scene when they're at the river, like at the river.
Not the waterfall.
The waterfall. Yeah. Thank you, Goran. Where it's Killmonger and T'Challa fighting, and you know, and then you get to see it's like, is this your king? That could have been Jay. I said it in the group chat in the cafe. I'm saying it again. Also, too, it's like there was just nothing there. I don't know. It felt like I was told, hey, here's a jumbo slice of pizza, and it's just like a small like domino slice. You know, that's not a jumbo slice. I was advertised a jumbo slice. You just gave me dominoes.
Yeah. Or it's like two slices that are together. You know what I'm saying, and it's not as good as a regular joke. Okay.
I don't know. It's kind of hard to describe. Maybe my expectations were too high, and maybe I fantasy booked myself into a corner.
Okay.
I thought at that point I was already gassed after the pay per view. I thought it was too long.
You were expecting a Costco hot dog, and they gave you an Oscar Mayer wiener.
In which case, which is better?
Well, we're talking size. We're not talking taste.
Oh, excuse me.
Okay. Listen, a Costco hot dog, not only does it have the length and the girth that you need, but for that price, you get a drink too.
Come on,
Oscar Mayer wiener can't compare. Can't come close.
For the price, you're not even spending. You're spending more because you have to buy it in a package. And you have to cook it. You know, Costco, it's already served hot. You know what I'm saying? They got the mustard. They got the onions if you ask for them.
$2. I don't even spend $2 for a hot dog and drink at my Costco.
I'm fucking going there at 10 p.m. later today.
Okay. I got
But you know what? To be honest, It's something that I said yesterday on Smackin' It Raw. Shout out Smackin' It Raw. Check that episode out. Me and Lichon Donner, his partner, Jizzy, were on there. You can find it on Croatia World. Check them out. Number one power wrestling podcast on Pornhub. But wrestling what I'm saying podcast. Is that, and with my homie Matt, who's here with me right now, what I'm saying is that I think it's because they were giving Jay all these asterisk wins up until SummerSlam is why I felt like every move that he did like had no legitimacy. You know what I'm saying? Like every time that he hit Roman, every time he speared Roman, this is kind of already like the fifth, sixth time we've seen this already, because they had given to us glimpses of it on segments prior before SummerSlam.
Yeah.
For me, the thing that I like didn't like about some of the build to SummerSlam is they were giving us highlights of what could happen instead of just not, maybe not showing anything at all. You know,
no, I think and the worst part of the match was that at halfway through it, Solo showed up and it became a 2-on-1 handicap match,
which technically I thought the rules of tribal combat were that
there is no rules.
Family members can get involved.
Yeah.
There is I don't know.
But anyway. But see, to go with Matt was saying there's so it's funny because some of the people in the audience knew that there's no rules, right? So like when they were outside, you had somebody cheering and trying to help Jay, but by cheering, did you hear that? He's like, don't do this, Roman, don't do this. And he was trying to like cheer him on. And then one of the other fans knew there was no rules. So when Jay tried to go on the side part, what do you call that, Garn? Where they had the barricade. A fan helped him get up and kind of launched him into the table. So the fans know that there's no rules. So they could have participated in the combat.
Katie should have thrown a chair at Jay. She was at the floor.
She couldn't. There were assholes standing up in front of her. She just would have hit them in the back of the head and it never would have made it down there.
You know what I'm saying? Like shout out JT, Powerbomb Jitsu, Darrell and Dom. They were in the building. JT 6'9". He could have clearly got in there, you know?
I need to know if they defended those titles, because Powerbomb Jitsu specifically went on Twitter and said, if you got a title, you got to defend it outside tonight. And then I looked and I saw both Dom and JT walking around with titles. So I need proof that they went out and defended those titles.
No, that's a damn good question. That's a damn good question.
Someone needs to get to the bottom of that.
The only person in the crowd that I noticed do anything was the woman behind Cody's mom when he went to go give her a hug after the match. Uh-huh. And if you did not notice that woman, probably just go back and watch that specific part of the show.
Do you want to elaborate on that, or
do you want to? It's worth going to check. I timestamped. Cody wins the match. Him and Brock hug.
Look for the mom. Look for the mom.
Brock to do the F5. Doesn't happen. Cody gets out of the ring, goes to hug the mom, and the camera pans over, and there is a woman in frame that is going to be hard to miss.
Oh my gosh. Does she flash?
No, she doesn't, but she damn near is.
Okay. I wish Cody's mom flashed or something like that. You know, like, anyway, shout out Cody Barota's mom. But yeah. Oh, I mean, Garn, what do you think? The tribal combat match. Is this something that you like? Were you into it, or?
In terms of the actual gimmick itself, I agree with Vince on it. It's like, why call it that, you know, unless you actually follow the rules of it, you know. But in terms of it as a false counts everywhere match, it did its job it needed to do. Outcome wise is kind of surprising. And then obviously Roman Reigns is going to not be competing in any pay-per-view till WrestleMania and the rate we're going here. So we're gonna see a lot of main event Jay against Jimmy for the next.
Is that for real? He's not gonna compete maybe? Until WrestleMania.
It's
speculation.
Rumor speculation. What's the next lineup? Oh, what's the next like
payback?
Opponent for him. Seth, are they gonna jump Cody in right away?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
It'll be Seth Rollins' Survivor Series, because rumor is Survivor Series in Chicago is going back to Brand Supremacy from a commercial that I saw on Friday, which, by the way, anyone that watched SmackDown on Friday should have known that Jey Uso was going to lose. because he beat Solo clean.
Yes, exactly. Clean, the show. Yep.
And if that was not an indicator, if you've been watching WWE and you don't understand that when that shit happens, that man's losing, then you're just not paying attention.
Yep.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. With all due respect. But yeah. So I mean, that's pretty much it. SummerSlam was pretty good. You know what I'm saying? I agree. There wasn't.
Was happy.
Yeah. I mean, for overall, like, yeah, it is something to watch. They had good matches. Was anything special going on? I mean, compared to some of the other pay-per-views, PLEs that we've seen, maybe not so much. But overall, I think it was still a pretty good watch to see anyway.
Shayna choked out Ronda Rousey from the WWE completely, hopefully. We may never see her again.
Dude, and the part where she bites her glove for the extra leverage was pretty street. I mean, like...
It should have been in a five pit, but neither here nor there.
I know. And that's another one, too, that kind of missed the opportunity, but whatever. But yeah. What's up?
If we had time, I would say let's go match by match and see how we improve the stipulation of each match. Because so many of these matches could have been improved upon if it was given a little oomph. You know?
Here, I'll give you a choice, Vince, because I know Justin's rushing through for me because I had a long night. We could do that. But then I get to drop all nine of my poems back to back to back, and you have to go after me. So we can either...
I don't have any material, so I'm just going to sit here and look period pretty anyway.
Or you can just let me drop bombs and then leave and have to live in the wake of what is about to happen here.
No, we can drop all nine. Then Garn can go, then I can go. So yeah.
Oh great.
It'll be
follow
fine.
That. Yeah, we fine.
Logan versus Ricochet could have been a loser leaves WWE match, or loser loses, or if Logan wins, he gets Samantha.
Yeah, I was that just gonna say that.
She's already wearing yellow.
Honestly, I thought Samantha Irving heel turn might come just because of the same colors, but I know that's kind of sweaty of me to think, but whatever.
It would have been a foregone conclusion. The only thing I would have switched up in that whole match, I would have had Samantha Irving look like Starscream or something and be a Decepticon.
Hey.
Because
she is very deceptive. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe she wore yellow because she was Bumblebee and Ricochet was Optimus Prime. She was trying to be a good girlfriend.
There you go.
Because she got the honey. Yeah.
Well, after that was Brock and Cody Texas Bull Rope match.
Yes, I could see that.
What's the match that his brother did on the back of a moving semi in WCW that Katie
the big. Is it called Big Rig? No, shoot.
Because top Brock Lesnar driving a tractor to the ring and lifting that up, the only thing that we can do to top that is Cody versus Brock on a moving semi-truck going 80 down the expressway.
That would have improved.
That would have been great. Weird, though. Weird. Seeing Brock behind a truck would be weird, but yeah.
Yeah. After that,
Battle Royal. Probably have to add a stipulation that like, gets a title shot.
Obviously, yeah, that's what I was going to say. US or IC.
Either that or you just... You know what? LA Knight should have, like, ticket bite off of a Slim Jim after he won. He didn't do that. That's how you improve the match. Slim Jim. Yeah. It's a sponsorship deal.
Okay. I got you.
Why you got Logan Paul that with Prime drink? That's basically what you're doing.
I mean, he already did that with the kid. You know,
yeah. After that was Shayna versus
Ronda.
Ronda
Five Pit. Or the Lions Den.
Five Pit, Lions Den would be good too.
Yeah, both would be good. After that was what?
Then it was a triple threat, wasn't it? Oh no, it was Gunther. Gunther.
Yep. Gunther versus Drew. I think that was fine as a singles match.
Yeah, honestly. I think that's fine.
With all those gimmicks, we needed one regular match.
I know we're booking Gimmick Slam right now, but I think that one just did its way. So.
Yeah. Okay. Then it was Finn versus Seth. I thought that was fine as is too.
Yeah, I think it was perfect.
Look, am I happy with the results? No, because I want my Golden Judgment Day.
Not gonna happen. Never gonna happen.
But there's
too many issues between Finn and Damian for that to be a thing.
The way the finish was executed, chef's kiss.
That overall match is dope. Yeah.
Yeah.
What the fuck was Seth Rollins cosplayer, his entrance attire, though? Because I saw people, they saw his shoes and they were like, oh, he's doing Rocket Power. That was not Rocket Power.
What was that?
Oh. Where did they get Rocket Power from?
He was a picture of his boots or some shit.
And he was like, he's
doing Rocket Power.
He was cosplaying as Rumpelstiltskin.
I guess, yeah, maybe. The women's triple threat, I think the only thing at gimmick I changed is you make the goddamn champion come out last or first.
Yeah, right? Dude, you don't make what her come the out heck?
Second? That's just weird. That's how I knew Asuka was losing when she came out second.
Like, I don't think I've ever seen that. You know what I'm saying? Where the champion comes in second. I've seen them come first or last, but in the middle? What?
Mm. Asuka in the middle.
Should have been a back of the line match where if Charlotte didn't win, she had to go to the back of the line and be every woman on the roster before she got another title shot.
Okay.
I like that. There you go.
That's a good one.
Finally, tribal combat. You actually have the tribe present.
Or anything tribal about the match whatsoever besides a no-holds-barred match.
You know what it should have been? It should have been the like judges. You know how Shao Kahn in the Mortal Kombat tournament is just spectating on his throne? It should have been Afa, Sika, and Rikishi in their thrones, spectating their sons.
I think we joked about this before, but I had this awesome theory that it was going to be a half cinematic match, half real match, where they would just all of a sudden, the next thing you see for the tribal combat, it will go to a shot of them waiting at the dock for a boat to pick them up. And then the boat picks them up and they go to fucking, you know, you see Rikishi and he says, welcome to the island of Samoa. And like what Vince said, like it's set up like the Mortal Kombat where you got like all the elders judging. And they're in the fucking sand of like there's fire around them and shit and torches and shit, you know, and they have a combat match and somehow they get on the boat, they come back to the arena, and it finishes in the arena.
Okay, AEW.
but see, that's the thing that I like about AEW. When it comes to gimmick matches like this, like that, they always deliver when it comes to shit like that.
Death match.
Match, the first Blood and Guts match. Yeah,
but listen, Stadium Stampede, Blood and Guts. Like, yeah, they did. They weren't always like hits, but they kind of made it work in a way, you know.
I guess they delivered on what the gimmick was supposed to be, even
right. If everything exactly
didn't go the way it was supposed to.
The Mimosa match, right? Was what. Where they had the two tanks. I mean, dude, come on. I mean, like, you know,
sweaty session.
They did finish the match. So.
I think it's that time.
And now, sweaty session. Oh, yeah, okay, sorry.
It's kind of your job to tell everyone what the sweaty session is.
Yo. Because I'm so used to Benji having some joke in the middle. But shout out to Benji. So sweaty session, we decided to do SummerSlam poems, right? It was originally supposed to be reasons why you watch SummerSlam, but I decided if you have a SummerSlam poem, either if you want to make people watch it or just about it, then it's all good. So, Matt, I know that you're on a time crunch. So, would you like to kick off this cipher?
I got no introduction to what Just's thought process was behind this. He just said SummerSlam poem. So, I made a poem for pretty much every part of the pay-per-view, each and every match, starting with who we opened with, Kid Rock. Kid Rock's here to kick off the day. I guess no one told him that Sonya was gay. If they had, it might have saved us the boredom. They should have got Eminem. I know they can afford him.
Finger snaps, finger snaps, finger snaps, finger snaps. Go ahead.
Logan and Ricochet fly spin and spiral, creating moments that, like STDs, go viral. Logan might have talent to the brim. No matter how good he is, I'll never like him. Brock took Cody to Suplex City. Brock tore his shorts like Cody tore his titty. Match ended with three crossroads. That pin caused 5,000 simultaneous blown loads.
Or 59,000. Oh my god. Blown loads. The Brock tore his shorts like Cody tore his titty.
That's a good one. Finger snaps, finger snaps.
7-foot giant dominates the pack. Riddle looks like Durag Vince's ball sack. LA Knight wins, and Bronson's still thick in this battle royal endorsed by a meat stick.
All right.
These are good Dr. Seuss's. All right.
Absolutely. MMA rules Shayna versus Ronda. Shayna throwing hands like her name is E Honda. This match should have been in the fight pit. When Shayna won, I know Katie lost her shit.
Hey. Shout out.
Big meaty Europeans slapping intercontinental meat. Had me more excited than Benji is for picks of feet. Drew lost the match because he was careless. Gunther's powerbomb was smoother than Just because he's hairless.
Yo. I like that.
7 years in the making, desperate other times. If I had 10 cents for every time Vince was right about Finn winning, I'd have... Zero dimes.
Come on. Dimes. Come on. Come on. And you
that was
can't
the last night.
Teach that.
Vince Bros. I don't even know if you heard that, and I'm so sad.
No. I just didn't give you a response.
Get chill.
Three women go to war. They're the top of their class. Bianca's win falls flatter than Charlotte's ass. And then one that I gave a little bit of a spoiler for last night on Smack and Raw. Tribal Combat had us at a fever pitch. Roman leaves Tribal Champ and Jay his Tribal Bitch. For his prophecy to come true, Reek would have sold his soul to the devil. Too bad Cody is Harry Potter and Jay was just Neville.
Finger snaps. Nice, man.
Good shit.
Dope.
What's the Ritter say for coming now? That's what I want.
the Ritter speakeasy, the Smacking Around speakeasy. Speaking of speakeasy, Garn, you got yours?
Yeah, I kind of did a poem, but it's more of a spoken word.
Okay. No problem.
So this was from Wednesday when we were trying to advertise SummerSlam. So all right. SummerSlam. Biggest party of the season. See son of Dusty take on Brock in battle. Vince wants them to fight forever, but the people only want to see just three. Three, triple threat with Asuka EST, but with a little bit of flair. Solar flare, Dragon Ball Z gear from Ronda. To take on Shayna in an MMA fight style. Shayna must win and must end Ronda Rousey. Oh, I can't read my handwriting. So Ronda Rousey could continue on training in that chamber. Chamber, elimination chamber, where Drew had his last title title championship. Also released his grand sword entrance, but can he defeat the relentless Gunther and his imperial stances? What is your stance with Ricochet and Logan Paul? It's just like Vegas, high risk or a complete downfall? Okay. Fall, age of the fall. Tyler Black taking it back to Prince Devitt 7 years to this day. Finn should have better judgment when selecting his club. But no club is big as a family. Bloodline runs deeper than any history. Roman still reigns, but Jay is just beginning of his story. So that's it for me.
Hey, I like that. I like that. I like that. Throwback.
Took us on like this whole like trip, and it felt like kind of like back in the day, like a few months ago when we were doing like the ads on SmackDown Raw, and we're trying to like segue into it, like run over here, segueing into the other ones.
Yeah, it's
and gave us and educated us on people's background stories too, as well.
Yeah.
The best part of it was where he's like, oh, EST, the match has some flair. Flair stole her flair. Ronda Rousey, like with the DBZ cosplay.
Exactly. Yeah.
That was good. Okay.
Thank you.
So I don't think Benji's going to be making it. So.
No, shit.
I was hopeful. I was hopeful for my guy. So yeah, basically, here we go. Summer is hot. Heat is beating down. Belt and Chief on the line. Roman about to get the crown. You already know main event Jay be the true Uso. He know nothing else. When he lose, he gonna have to settle for that Louis belt. Logan Ricochet feud went viral. Doing aerial assaults like Sabu. Homicidal, suicidal, genocidal.
Homicidal? I forgot.
Homicidal, excuse me. I forgot to mention Cody Rhodes' road to redemption. Got the respect from the Beast. Sheena put that holly on Ronda, said, bitch, go to sleep. Dude, the chokehold so tight. Ronda was out like a light. Like a light. Like a light. That cash in was tight. Props to Oscar, Flair, and Belair. Hope her knee is all right. Judgment Day massing up the cash in. Shit wasn't right. SummerSlam is a place to be in the 313. If you're feeling me, throw your ones up in the 313. There you go.
Everybody in the 313, put your motherfucking hands up and follow me.
Hey, there you go. There shout you go. Out B-Rabbit. I was trying to do the same thing, but I didn't want to do the same verse. Mm-hmm. But thank you guys for joining me in the Getcho Speakeasy for SummerSlam. My homies, would you like to plug your socials? Matt, go ahead.
You can follow me on Twitter at Matt Ritter. You can follow me on Threads and Instagram and TikTok at Smackin' a Raw. And you can follow me also on Twitter at Getting Off Smackin' a Raw. And Matt Ritter is all your wrestling content. Getting Off is your horror content.
Nice. My homie Vince.
You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at SES Vince. The link trend in my bio will take you to everything Croatia, Get Shows, Straight Talk, Smack and Raw, everything else in between. Go ahead, check that out. Final episode of Straight Talk, episode 50, The Curtain Call. I haven't decided what the conversational piece of the episode's going to be, but it just might be like a locker room barbershop talk sessions with like alumni, people that have been on the show, obviously. So I had to figure out scheduling wise, you know, my work schedule just changed. So got to figure some shit out. But episode 50, The Current Call is coming out. So just stay tuned for that.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Shout out. And you can find me at Get Your Podcast on Twitter, Get Your Podcast on Instagram. If you can't find me there, you can find me Marks and Mikes. Also have a episode up with Jizzy on Litron Diaries. Also currently waiting for the next Getting Off, right, Matt? I think we're trying to schedule something soon.
We're waiting for Katie to get back. So
okay, gotcha. So yeah, so be on the lookout for that. But yeah, guys, thank you so much for joining me. And what did they say? Peace. We out of here. Konnichiwa, bitches.
Knew it was
okay, with the vocals. Let's go. All right, homies. Konnichiwa, bitches.